forgiveness. In today's readings, both from the book of Sirach and our gospel selection from the gospel of Matthew, forgiveness is the central theme. Jesus tells us that the mark of the Christian is to forgive. Ravensbrück concentration camp is one of many such camps operated by the Nazis during World War II. It was set up as a camp for women political prisoners, mostly from Poland. Of the hundreds of thousands imprisoned, all subjected to cruel torture, medical experimentation, and death, only a handful actually survived. In the clothing of one of the dead, a child, the following prayer was found. O Lord, remember not only those of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the sufferings they have inflicted on us. Instead, remember all the fruits we have borne because of this suffering. Our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this trouble. When our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. This is a child who takes to heart the Christian value of forgiveness. No revenge, no anger in her prayer. Words of revenge and anger run contrary to the command of Christ to forgive again and again. According to the teaching of the day, a member of the Jewish community must be willing to forgive one another. The acceptable standard was one should forgive another up to 3 times. After the 3rd time, any obligation to forgive vanishes. Peter, however, is willing to more than double the expectation of the day to forgive 7 times. Jesus says, no, that is not enough. It should be 77 times. In other words, there is no limit on how many times a community member should forgive another. For a Christian, forgiveness is unlimited. The rabbis clearly taught that if you wanted mercy from God, you had to be merciful to others. If you exact justice from others, expect the same from God. The good news is, of course, that God is compassionate and merciful and ready to forgive us immediately and unendingly. However, the process does not end with God's unlimited forgiveness. There are reciprocal responsibilities for those of us who have been so graced with God's unending forgiveness. We must be willing to forgive others in the very same way that God forgives us. In fact, that is exactly what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. But because of original sin, it is not in our nature to be forgiving. We want to hold on to the hurt. We want revenge. We want to ensure justice is done. But none of that is helpful. Holding on to the anger, holding on to the hurt, holding on to the grudge is like drinking poison ourselves, trusting the one who hurt us will be the one killed by the poison. It just doesn't work that way. Holding on to the hurt, the hate, the pain, gives the person who hurt us continued power over us, and the hurt festers in us, building until it explodes. We need to forgive. We need to let go, not for the sake of the other, but for our own sakes. Remember that God forgives because God is forgiving, not because anyone deserves it. We need to imitate that attitude. And we also need to accept the forgiveness of God ourselves. Once the sin is forgiven in the sacrament of reconciliation, we need to move forward, forgive ourselves, and accept God's forgiveness. Not a single one of us deserves to be forgiven, ever. Yet God's grace and love is so great that God longs to forgive. It's what God does. In a few moments at the communion rite, we will once again pray the prayers that Jesus gave us. We will say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. No more, no less. Let's be careful what we pray for, and let us be fully aware of the words we speak. The greatest commitment, the greatest sign that we can give to practice this Christian virtue of forgiving 77 times is found in the word we speak when we receive the Eucharist. Amen. Let it be so.